Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Let me ask you, what is sin? As you ponder this great and universal question, and before you begin enumerating any number of transgressions that would easily fall into the general category of sin, please consider that the Bible makes a clear distinction between sin and sins. Sins are the byproducts of the principle of sin. And so once again, let me ask, what is sin? Well, if we drop our own speculations and restrict our consideration to the clear revelation of the Bible, we realize that sin is fundamentally a matter of leaving God and doing something by ourselves and for ourselves. In other words, sin is to take anything other than God as our unique source. He desires to be the source of our life, of our living, and even of our satisfaction. Any departure from taking Him as the source is sin, and it will unavoidably result in innumerable sins. In that light, now, let's consider these verses from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of it you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Francis Ball has joined us for our fellowship from Jeremiah once again. Francis, it's good to be reminded that God desires above all else to be our unique source, isn't it?
It is a very good reminder, because this is at the very beginning of the Bible and goes all the way through the Bible, that leaving God is sin.
And leaving God, it seems, has this unavoidable consequence that Israel was destined to experience again and again and again, the troubles that befell them. And that's really, I think, the underlying point of at least part of our message today. The underlying points of failure and the experiences of all the difficulties that Israel had, that Jeremiah was speaking to them in regards, were all the result of this same principle reenacted once again. As man departed from God as the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, Israel had departed from Jehovah as their unique source. And of course, we saw that right early on in chapter 2 of Jeremiah, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns. Francis said, whether we see him as the fountain of living water or as the tree of life, this is God presenting himself to man uniquely as our source, isn't it?
I believe this is very, very clear from these first chapters, our first verses in the book of Genesis, and now reminding us in the book of Jeremiah that to leave God is the greatest evil, and to take up anything else. In other words, to not take the fountain of living waters, which is God himself flowing, and to pick up something else for our going on, is really sin against God. Mm. And all our sins result from that one sin.
Well, we've come to chapter 40 now, and at this stage in the experience of Israel, we had seen this departure that Jehovah pointed out to Jeremiah in chapter 2. And then we have a lot of history of trouble and suffering and judgment as Israel is now reaping what it had sowed by forsaking and giving up Jehovah. And at one period in time, of course, the great king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, comes with his invading armies, and Israel is taken captive. And the people, the majority, are carried off to Babylon. There is yet a remnant, however, a small number of the people that remained in the land. And so in chapter 40, we see a man named Gedaliah. And we will hear him referred to, I think, in this first portion by Witness Lee. Gedaliah, one of the Jews that remained in the land, was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to be the governor over Israel during this time of captivity as an occupying force. Nebuchadnezzar wanted a representative that the people would be answerable to. And so this man Gedaliah was selected. And Jeremiah, as God's prophet who remained in the land and did not take the opportunity to go into Babylon, where he might have been treated quite favorably, it seems, according to some of these verses in Jeremiah, he chose to remain, and so he remained and stayed with this man, Gedaliah, and he was there as God's spokesperson. We even saw the other day as God's mouth, as long as he would remain faithful. And that's the backdrop now which we consider this matter of Israel. And they see the opportunity to maybe turn their situation around, and they come to Jeremiah and beseech him to give them the Lord's word again. And they promise this time to obey, but as we will see, another empty promise.
Once you leave the fountain of living waters, all your promises are futile.
Very good point. All right, let's join Witness Lee, and then we'll be back for some fellowship.
I'd like to ask, how could you take the word of God? To take the word of God, we must be one. That is, absolutely one with God. Firstly, we take God as our source of everything. In the universe, God doesn't want us to take anything other than Him. After He created man, He put man in front of a tree, which is called the Tree of Life. God wanted man to take that Tree of Life, nothing else. And this is the principle in the entire Bible, that God wants His chosen people only to take Him as a source, as a fountain, as a tree of life, nothing else. What is sin? Sin is just to give up God and to do something by ourselves and for ourselves. This is sin. What the children of Israel did to God was exactly this sin. They forsake God as the fountain of all their supply, and they did their best according to their opinion to work out something for their enjoyment by themselves. This is a sin. If you could get this principle, you could see all the 46 chapters on Israel's sin is like this. Gedaliah, he had God, and he had God's prophet Jeremiah with him. Why didn't he seek after the word of God? Because that was his habit. He was faithful, but it is clearly shown that he was not one taking God as his source, to be one with God and to take everything out of God. So, to get God's word, you need to be one with God. You are trusting Him. You rely upon Him. You don't like to have any opinion out of yourself. You just like to listen to His word. And you don't like to do anything by yourself. You just like to enjoy what He has done and what He would do for you. This is the way that we can fulfill God's economy.
Well, Francis, we'll find out more about Gedaliah in a few minutes, but I really think we should focus our attention on this matter of the way to fulfill God's economy.
That, to me, it seems to be the main point that we're getting at here. That the only way to fulfill God's word or to take God's word is to be one with God. And this is where they failed, because they would not take God as everything to them. And I believe this applies to us today too, Chris, that we must take God as our life and our everything if we pretend to take the word of God. The word of God comes from the person of God. So to have God Himself as our person, as our life, and as everything to us, is the only way we can really take the word of God.
So the issue here, of course, was how were the people in their relationship with God? Were they absolutely one with God, or were they just looking for God to give them a few pointers here and there and take the things that they thought kind of suited their situation? And it seems that the part B is far more the apt description of the children of Israel. And as you pointed out, this is also perhaps our situation, yeah, isn't it?
I believe this is really the keynote here, is that without being one with God, we will just be seeking some appeasement for ourselves, some fulfilling of our desire or our opinion about what we should do, and we like to have God's okay. But this is not being one with God. To be one with God is mean He is everything, and we take Him as everything to us. Without that, we will be void of the Word of God.
And in Jeremiah, it seems like, at least given that situation and for that time, he found one that was much closer to being one with him than all of the others. So Jeremiah, called from his mother's womb, raised up by the Lord to be a prophet even in his youth, had this characteristic that by and large, although we've seen it in some of the past programs, Jeremiah at times had his own problems and opinions and expressed his sorrow and bitterness and perhaps his differences with God. But by and large, he was one who had the heart to remain one with Jehovah, and he got and received and benefited from having God's word.
That's really what's amazed and given me some enjoyment in getting into this book of Jeremiah. He was one who was faithful, even though he had his problems, as you pointed out. But this is all because he is not God. So he must have God as his everything in order for God to have his full way in him. And he is a spokesman for God and takes God as his everything. So he's able to speak faithfully what God says.
Okay, let's come back to our story now. We have Gedaliah has been appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to be governor. Gedaliah is one of the Jews, and out from among the remnant of the people, he is established as one to be an authority. And the prophet Jeremiah comes to be with him. And somewhat, God had also indicated that he would be with Gedaliah during this period of time. But as Witness Lee pointed out in that last segment, Gedaliah did not have a heart that much for God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the situation is that the others among the remnant of the people and some of the leaders of the families and tribes approach Gedaliah, and they have a thought that they would be better served by fleeing into Egypt to escape the Babylonians. And they come to Jeremiah, ask him to beseech Jehovah and to get such a word, giving them a sort of a green light to do what they wanted to do. But of course, the word of the Lord was different, and the people chose to disregard Jehovah's speaking and Jeremiah's speaking. Ultimately, Gedaliah gets murdered, and the people go into Egypt, and further suffering befalls God's people.
Yes, Jeremiah was very faithful about his word, but he was delayed.
Yeah.
It took 10 days for the Lord's word to come to him, what he should say to the people. And that was a faithful word, that if they go into Egypt, they are facing a lot of suffering and trouble.
Okay, let's go back to Witness Lee, and we will hear about one of the leaders of the people who makes this approach to Gedaliah in Jeremiah is named Johanan or Johanan.
Why children of Israel have that many troubles? Just because they were not one with God. Look here, Johanan, the leader, determined strongly to go to Egypt, to take refuge there, because they thought the Babylonians would come to get them away. Actually, God told Jeremiah, it was not like that. God wanted them to remain in the Holy Land, to be a remnant of His people, and God will visit them and grace them, and even use them as a testimony of the living God on this earth. So they altogether misunderstood God by their opinion. Yet, listen, they came to Jeremiah, they begged Jeremiah to seek a word from God for them, and they promised Jeremiah that they would obey. Why they say they would obey? They expected Jeremiah would go along with them, would give them the sugar-coated word. But Jeremiah waited for 10 days. The word from Jehovah came to Jeremiah. Don't go to Egypt. You just remain in Judah. Everything will be okay. You will enjoy Jehovah, you will enjoy his blessing. If you will not listen to this, you would rather go down to Egypt. I tell you, there sword and famine will be waiting for you. My goodness, including Johanna, all of them rose up, especially the wives. They rebuked Jeremiah and told him, you lied to us. We will still go down to Egypt. Not only so, when we get there, we will still make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. That was the wife of Nimrod. Terrible. From the beginning, they were not people who were one with God. If they were, surely they would be of no problem. They will take God's word, and they will know God's heart, and they will know God's purpose. Today, we Christians transgress this principle in the same way. We don't have a heart. We would not be one with God. Yet we like to be God's people. We will never go along with God's will. We will always express our opinions. Yet we like to be Christian.
Francis, this is really the test that we all face. His point here at the end, you can't escape it. We are Christians. We consider ourselves God's people. But what about when what is really in our heart to do, or even what everyone around us is doing, even in our Christian community is doing and favoring, does not match Jehovah's word? What then? That's the real test, isn't it?
That is the real test. And we really need this. And in order to have this, we must really come back to be one with God.
Yeah.
But I think we'll see. Only God can solve this problem to bring us back to be one with God. And his speaking will then become our food and our supply. But if we insist on our way and our opinion, I'm afraid what he prophesied here concerning what would happen to this remnant, if they leave Judah and they go down to Egypt,
right,
what will happen to them will be trouble. They will face the sword and pestilence and so on. So we have to open up our being, realize that we are this kind of person. If we don't become one with God to receive God's word and know God's heart, know God's will, we are really missing God's presence.
You know, it would have been easy for Jeremiah to become very popular with the people if he had just told them what they wanted to hear. And as Witness Lee used this phrase, the sugar-coated words.
Yeah.
I think everybody that speaks for the Lord today, a lot of ministers and preachers face this same dilemma.
Right.
Do we give them what they want to hear, the sugar-coated, or do we tell them the truth according to what God has revealed?
Well, I thank the Lord that someone came along and told us the truth,
yeah,
and we began to see in the Word of God what it is to be one with God.
Well, if there are three, as we near now, begin to near the conclusion of this life study of Jeremiah, I would say we have seen, without any doubt, there are three portions. If we come away with just these three segments of Jeremiah, we will do well. This verse in chapter 2, verse 13 that we opened the program with, of course, the new covenant in Jeremiah 31 that we have touched and will touch more in the coming final days, but also this key passage in Jeremiah 23. And we may ask, after this kind of a desperate, despicable situation, how could God's people ever be restored once again to the point where they can go on? And the answer is this passage in chapter 23. Indeed, days are coming, declares Jehovah, when I will raise up to David a righteous shoot, and he will reign as king and act prudently and will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, Jehovah, our righteousness. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know him today as our dear, precious Lord Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Jeremiah firstly presents us the basic sin of God's people. And then Jeremiah talks a lot about this, about that. All of a sudden, he said something. A righteous shoot will come out. And this righteous shoot will be Jehovah, our righteousness. We had a lot of promise because we would not be one with God. We have no heart to do God's will. We had no heart to tell God good pleasure. So we offend God, we transgressed against His ordinances, and we commit sins against His commandments. So we became a problem. We are people whose heart is deceitful, deceitful above all things, and it is incurable. We have been exposed that we do have a nature so sinful, so rebellious, which could never be changed. But how could we be reconciled with God? How could we be justified by God and taken by God and His people? How? By this righteous shoot, who will be called Jehovah our righteousness. He is the righteousness that reconciles us with God. So if we take Him, this righteous shoot will be justified by God, and we have no problem with God, because this righteous shoot, when He came in the flesh as the descendant of David, He would die on the cross to shed His blood and accomplish the redemption for us. Then He Himself will be given to us as our life, not only as our life, even as our person. So this ushers the triune God into our being to be everything to us. This builds up a kind of situation that God is free to work out His eternal economy in us by dispensing all the time Himself into our being. Well, if you could see this and catch this principle, you understand entire Jeremiah.
Francis, our time is short, but I would expand his final statement to say if we would see and catch this principle, we would understand not just the entire Jeremiah, we'd understand the entire Bible.
Right, that's right. This is a marvelous end to this particular portion that we have today, to realize that there is a shoot from Jehovah who is called righteousness.
Yes.
And in this day, for we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that shoot, we have Him as our righteousness. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. So we praise the Lord that we can be brought back to be one with God by God Himself dispensing Himself into us, and we can hear God's word. We can keep God's word. This is very, very encouraging. While it's very condemning, it's also very encouraging.
Yeah.
That there is a shoot will bring us back to our righteous God. And even for Israel, this applies for the coming age, when a remnant of Israel will be saved and all the promises that have been coming out here in Jeremiah will be realized by that remnant of God's people called Israel. And the blessing will be also to all those who have Christ as the shoot of righteousness.
Wonderful point to end a program on that had a lot of kind of dark passages and shades of black and dark gray, but we end up on this marvelous point coming back to the shoot out of Jehovah,
yes,
really, who is Jehovah our righteousness,
right,
making a way for us again to come back to the tree of life and the fountain of living waters and enjoy God's dispensing. Francis, a good conclusion today, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. Very encouraging.
Thanks for your fellowship. As always, we enjoy so much having you with us and invite you to come back again soon as we wind down now this life study of Jeremiah.
Thank you. That's my pleasure.
As we continue our life study of Jeremiah, for Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.